In truth, you never, ever know what to expect in the next moment. You think you do, because there's a certain linearity to life that makes you think that if one moment is this way and the next moment is this way, then that moment after that will probably follow. And so we have what we feel is a continuity in our lives, a kind of predictability in our lives. And it gives us a comfort. It's a really false comfort, but it's a comfort. Because, as Rudy used to say pretty regularly, life turns on a dime. Everything can change in an instant. And you never, ever know what is next. And the problem with not knowing is that if you live in a state of not knowing, you become very anxious. And anxiety is a condition that filters through human life, because we all secretly sense that even though we think we know what's next, we really have a underlying fear that we don't know. And that underlying fear creates a real lack of trust in the next moment, a real lack of trust in life itself. We walk around with a fear, usually subdued fear, but a fear of the unknown next moment. Mostly we try, I think, to create lives that will assure us that the next moment will be comfortable. We try to build in every kind of security that we can think of. Money, enough money to buy the next moment, to buy comfort, to buy shelter, to buy food, to buy clothes. We try to surround ourselves with people who we know, who we can predict how they will behave in the next moment. People who will not cause us too much unexpected disturbance. We pretty much build in a life of security as much as humanly possible. And for many people, actually, there's an ability to completely forget that things can change, that something may be different 2 seconds from now. And therefore, you can start to live with this incredible sense of false security that you're fine, you're protected from the world, you're protected from the universe. You've done everything you need to do. You have life insurance, you have house insurance, you have everything you need. And then this sense of the world as a possibility of instant transformation is so sublimated that you basically live a kind of denial. You live a sense that you will be forever. You will be in this condition forever. And unless something comes to shake that up, you can go through the day, pretty much every day, in a state of comfort and relative ease. And that's how most people live. Relatively at ease with themselves and with life. Nothing wrong with that. Except that it's not a real state. It's a false condition. It's a false condition because nothing prepares you for what is. What is that nothing is truly known. What is that you have no idea what's around the corner. What is that everything changes. in order to begin to live with what is, you have to open yourself up to an extraordinarily vulnerable condition. Extraordinarily vulnerable. Because you have to accept that you don't know what tomorrow brings. You have to accept that you don't know what the next moment brings. And it's almost impossible to live that way if you don't trust the next moment, meaning really that you don't trust this moment. Because if you live in a lack of trust, what happens is that you start to feel a kind of pervasive anxiety about life itself. And unless you can find your way into saying, "Thy will be done," unless you can go into this place in yourself that goes, "I am, I accept my being, I accept the truth of my being," unless you can do that, you cannot find peace in your life. So the whole practice of spiritual work is to give up this false sense of the next moment, to give up this false sense of security, to start to say, "I truly do not know what is ahead. I truly do not know what this next moment will hold." And if you will, to give up the need to even project the next moment and just move into this moment. If you can just move your attention into this moment and nothing else, and just be with what is, you will start to experience a number of sensations. One of them is anxiety, because you go, "If I'm only in this moment, who's going to take care of the next one? How am I going to deal with the next one if I'm not paying attention and thinking about it and preparing for it and worrying about it and doing all that stuff that we do?" So you'll feel this sense of real discomfort being in the moment. When you sit in the moment, you're going to find other things. You're going to find that your mind is very agitated, in constant motion, and that the peace you think you're going to find in the moment is very hard to arrive at because your mind is so noisy and so caught in the past and the future that it doesn't know how to rest in this moment. You're also going to find when you sit in the moment that you are bored. You've exhausted the mindscape. You've exhausted running around with your brain to every place that it can get distracted by. You just sit here and go, "Oh my God, now what? How do I sit like this? This is horrible. Where do I go? What's going to be next? How do I get beyond this?" And so you start to get this very, very uncomfortable feeling of boredom. You also start to feel, of course, your body aching. If you sit still long enough, your body is uncomfortable. Nothing in it feels very much at ease. You feel tension, your neck starts to hurt, you want to stretch your leg. You know, you don't feel very good about it. And then your emotions really start to kick in and you go, "I hate this. Why am I sitting like this? I want to do anything but this." You go into this whole state of movement in mind and emotion to move away from the moment. So it can't even begin to appear pleasurable or comfortable to be present, to be in the present, because everything is fighting it. And that's where spiritual work really comes in. Spiritual work is sitting in the midst of all of this stuff and just saying, "Okay, okay, I'm going to sit here. I'm just going to sit here no matter what. I am going to sit here and be present. I'm going to let go of everything that's preceding this moment. I'm going to let go of my expectation and interest and concern about the next moment. I'm just going to sit here in my boredom. I'm going to sit here in my emotionality. I'm going to sit here in my physical discomfort and just be still. It's really interesting what happens when you commit to that choice, when you really commit to it. The mere fact that you have chosen to become present in this moment, that you have been willing to go up against all of these forces that try to pull you out of the moment, and they are huge, that you are willing to say, no matter what, I have the courage, I have the spirit, the warrior spirit, to just confront the moment. That strength of spirit, that strength of purpose, that strength of effort changes everything. You simply sit there and you observe all of this stuff going on inside you. You just observe it. You don't try in any way to change it. You go, okay, my body's killing me. My mind is in wild disorder. My emotions are all over the place. I don't want to be in this situation. All of this stuff is going on. It doesn't matter. I am just going to observe it. I just watch this state of being. And what happens if you have the bravery to stay with this, and it takes a kind of bravery, is that the hold of all of these forces on you starts to break up. And you begin to feel what I would call a kind of separation or a detachment, a letting go. And as you start to feel this letting go, you begin to feel that you are observing this condition of being from a greater and greater distance, that it no longer has completely taken you over. It is now somehow being observed almost like under a microscope. And you can look down and say, oh, there's all of this tension. There's tension in the jaw. There's tension in the lower back. There is this emotion running around inside the chest. You start to see all this stuff very almost analytically, except you're not analyzing it because it's not your mind that's watching it. Your mind, in fact, is being watched by your consciousness, by your awareness. It's just being watched. And as this watching continues, all of this disruptive state of being that you have been exhibiting in trying to be still, in trying to stay in the moment, starts to dissolve. It just gets quieter and quieter, because as you watch it, it just doesn't know quite what to do. It doesn't know why it's not gaining control of your consciousness. Your consciousness usually jumps in and makes it bigger and stronger and more powerful, and now your consciousness is just looking at it. What you have done is you have separated your consciousness from your mind. You have separated your consciousness from your body and from your emotions. You are simply consciousness observing this condition. And that condition, observed without being engaged, becomes quiescent. It becomes very still. And as it becomes still, there is something that occurs that you can call peace. Peace. You find that you are peaceful. You are not engaged and caught in all of this activity. You are observing that activity, and that activity in being observed gets quiet. And then there you are as consciousness, just awareness. And I say consciousness and awareness in the same breath. I don't really mean that, because consciousness tends to be something that is still physically part of your own body. Awareness seems to be disembodied altogether. Awareness seems to be just vast presence, just knowing. Consciousness is an awareness of that. And consciousness of the body, consciousness of the mind, and consciousness of your physicality, of time, that kind of consciousness can be, and you experience it all the time, very engaged. And when you engage the mind and you engage the body and you engage your emotions, you have no sense of separation. You are completely caught by them, and they run you. They start to run the show. The mind takes the power of consciousness and becomes very, very active, very powerful. It's only by separating consciousness from mind that you begin to be quiescent and you begin to experience stillness, and that stillness allows you to begin to approach peace. When I walked into the room today, I woke up late, partly because I'm on California time. I felt disordered when I woke up this morning. I had strange dreams. I could call them troubling, but they weren't really troubling. They were just strange. I found everything a little bit out of kilter. The day wasn't flowing the way it normally flows. And yesterday I decided to stop drinking coffee for a while, so I decided to approach this class with no coffee. Not that that's a huge deal, but it was going to change the chemistry of the class for me. And so I said, I have no idea what this class is going to be. I don't know if I'm going to come into this class and fall dead asleep sitting here in front of you. I didn't know if I was going to come into this class and not be able to find a connection to any energy at all and be wasting your time and my time, which would have made me feel guilty and terrible. I didn't know. But I said, as I walked in the room, please help me to surrender. Which is what my mantra is, really, from Rudy all these years. It's the one thing I say, please help me to surrender. Meaning what? Please help me to surrender, let go of me and all of my stuff, and just be in the moment. Let me let go of my nervousness or my concerns. Let me let go of my fear of not being able to do this or do that for you guys. Let me just let go of everything and just be. I sat down, and for a moment I felt tired. I felt this anxiety still in play, and my mind started going, oh, you're going to be in trouble now. This is going to be hard for you today. All the stuff that the mind does, and I just looked at it, and I just stared at it. I just went, I knew it was going to do that. I know my mind does that. I just watched it. And it didn't understand why I was watching it. It thought I was going to get totally swept away by its anxiety. And I just sat. And then I started to hear the Om sound. The Om sound, which was unbelievably and remains at this moment unbelievably strong in this room. The Om sound is essentially the background noise of the universe. It's the sound of creation itself. It is this high-pitched, very powerful, dynamic sound that you often hear in empty rooms.